Welcome back, guys. DGS 420. Our buddy Ian Mackey, state rep from the Clayton area, is in with us. We're supposed to do the think tank with Mike Elam, but we knew we were going to carry that news conference and we wouldn't have enough time. But I've really been looking forward to talking to you about this last session. And like, we were talking off the air, so you're a millennial and Rachin and Andrew are millennials, and they have to put up with me going like, the world didn't used to be like this. Let me tell you something. We went to the AMC theaters and we liked it. And you were making the point, you've never seen a normal session.
I haven't. And I've, you know, reached out to folks who, you know, a lot of lobbyists who are now in the building. Many of them were former members or former staff members or been around the building a long time, reporters who've covered the General Assembly for decades, to just sort of really find out if this was just nostalgia or a myth that things used to be normal, or if this actually, and they all tell me, no, it really did used to be a whole lot better than this. It really did. Things used to work. They were bipartisan. Obviously, there were fights and spats here and there, but, you know, legislation got passed. People went home and talked about what they brought back to their districts, and, you know, and that was that.
Well, I mean, you think about it, Steve Ellman and John Hancock used to be the right-wing fascists.
Sure, right? So hard to imagine.
Now they're teddy bears.
So hard to imagine. The extremes have just continued to become farther and farther apart. And, you know, we're a super red state with a super majority on one side. And most of those elections are decided in August primaries, where the voters you have to win are not the voters in the middle. They're the voters that are in the extreme camp who are going to show up on a 100-degree day in the middle of August to vote for their favorite person just on that side.
Yeah.
And they have access 24/7, usually not through, you know, vetted, verified journalists who've gotten their degree and work for a reputable outlet, but through whoever's posting on social media at any given moment.
I'm always fascinated by the off time, because you're an attorney and you've been through this. When I used to try cases, they could be incredibly difficult, emotional cases. And I used to represent products companies, and, you know, someone died by, you know, a fry daddy or something, and you're using the same bathroom and you're 8 feet from each other. It's always weird. What's it like there in the chamber or in the Senate when you're just kind of walking around talking to people and these people are being bat crap crazy? I mean, like, do you talk about it?
Yeah, to some degree, there has to be some compartmentalization, and there is a lot of compartmentalization that goes on. I mean, there are folks that I would call a fascist, frankly, that I think, you know, want a country that looks just completely different than the one I want, one that's controlled maybe by an autocrat in the White House. But we are able to sit down and work on education policy together. We're able to sit down and say, here's how we can improve our schools. Here's how we can improve childcare in our state. Here's how we can improve some criminal justice measures that have been very bipartisan over the years. It's hard and sort of weird, especially the closer you get to an election and in an election year, it gets a little strange. And a lot of times it's bomb throwing in between on the floor. I mean, I guess that's what we call it. It's really just, you know, speaking your truth and trying to hold the other side accountable. Comes across as fighting, comes across as theater, comes across as many different things to many different folks. But these really genuine battles and arguments and debates that we have on the floor are real. But it's just as real to then go to the side gallery with a piece of paper and sit down, or the back lounge and sit down and scratch out a work plan on a separate unrelated bill. That's just what we have to do.
I guess the Democrats won as far as the filibuster and running out the clock on what the Freedom Caucus was trying to do. But it's sad, obviously, that the business of the people didn't get done. Were you holding out hope until 6 p.m. that maybe people would come to the better angels would take over and we'd get some things done?
We used to, I mean, it used to work that way, right? I mean, we used to think that, you know, okay, well, surely we'll wake up on Friday morning, you know, the last day of session, and this will be over and we'll spend 8 hours, you know, passing hopefully all of the bipartisan pieces of legislation that so many of us have been working on all session. Because there's, I mean, 80% probably of the legislation on that Senate calendar that died. I mean, I don't know if it was that high, but, you know, a majority for sure of that legislation was bipartisan in nature, passed, you know, really handedly through our chamber with little to no opposition, and would have helped a lot of people. And, you know, it's sad that that didn't get done. You know, it's a trade off as to whether or not that gets done, or whether or not we stop a really unfair, you know, manipulation of our constitutional amendment process. So, you know, in the end, I'm glad we were able to prevent that from taking place, but we should have been able to do both.
What were your biggest disappointments that didn't make it through?
You know, I had a lot of education pieces that I was working on. This was actually the first year, and I'm probably not alone, but the first year that I've been there, and this was my sixth year, that I didn't have something at the governor's desk that I don't have a bill signing to go to. I don't have a piece of language somewhere in a bill to take back. So, and I know I'm not alone in that boat. So, but I had a lot of moving parts. I had a lot of help and friends on the other side of the aisle who were working with me in that space to improve our schools. And I'm disappointed we weren't able to get that done. I know a lot of folks that I work with on our side of the aisle had folks on the other side working on different healthcare issues that they were hoping to get done. A couple of those did get done, but a lot of stuff just left lingering. We still have a child care crisis. We had lots of opportunities to provide tax relief and to provide incentives for employers whose job it is to take care of children so that their parents can work. And we had 8 or 10 different ways to try to get that done, all of which were, you know, Republican bills. And they all just ended up dying at the end.
What sort of report card would you give the outgoing governor?
Oh, that's a great question. Probably a C, you know?
That's what everyone's getting.
Right around average, you know, could be better, could be worse. Not the friendliest in terms of his relationship with the legislature, really, on either side, but also, obviously, you know, coming after Eric Greitens, certainly not the worst.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more he could have done, I think, to cooperate and to communicate in a more efficient manner with lawmakers in terms of coming up with a plan and a bipartisan plan, especially to try to improve the state. Every year, and I'm sure this year won't be an exception, we'll probably be surprised by some of his vetoes. He doesn't really forecast that or communicate that. And I think it would be better if he did. But, you know, all in all, you know, a little political here and there with stuff about the border and, you know, things like that. But for the most part, you know, pretty straight and narrow.
At least he's somewhat textured in that he's standing up to Andrew Bailey and they're having that fight.
And I can't say that I can't say he's a liar. I mean, the guy's been pretty straightforward. He's been a little concealed, you know, like I said, could communicate more. But I don't think anybody would go around, you know, saying that he's done them wrong or harmed them or lied to them or anything like that. So, unlike, again, the previous guy.
So. What do you do when you go back?
When we go back to...
Yeah, I mean, in the next session, do you try to start it out differently?
Well, yeah, I mean, and we'll have a, you know, just like we do every 2 years now with term limits, we'll have a huge group of brand new freshman legislators, Democrats and Republicans.
Is that annoying?
Fresh off of a 2 week. It's
like when you're a junior in college, you're like, look at these babies. Look at these babies drinking.
What's terrific. Yeah, a little bit. And some of them do fall from grace pretty quickly when that starts. But it is fun to see them fresh off of their 2 week tour around the bus tour around the state. They come in with their seatmates and they have great plans and they should. I mean, and honestly, I think I probably got more done my freshman year because of that. I think my freshman year, I probably got more pieces of legislation, more language and more bills passed because
you didn't know what you couldn't do.
And that relationship was so fresh and, you know, and you show up and most of them aren't going to have any enemies there. They're brand new. And when I showed up, I certainly didn't, you know, you spend 6 years here or there. Somebody,
make
you know, doesn't like you so much, like any workplace. Right. I think it's, you know, there's a lot to not like about term limits, but I actually think the incoming freshman is actually something to like about the term limits. They usually do.
What was
pretty
good. The high point?
The high point of this session was, well, I mean, really, it was stopping the changes to our initiative petition process. I mean, it was really just a 50-hour straight filibuster. No procedural moves, no pauses, no adjourning and then coming back, just straight through 50 hours.
Old school.
It's just absolutely remarkable. And that's, you know, how important it was to folks who want to keep the integrity in that process. And I think it's no surprise that the mainstream Republicans, the leaders in the Senate, you know, Kayla Browden and those folks were content to let the Democrats use the tool that exists in the Senate rather than to give that win to the folks who were obstructionists from day one, you know, the Freedom Caucus and Bill Igel and those folks. So in a way, I think it felt a little bipartisan. And I'm glad that was certainly the highlight.
Well, thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Cardinal baseball coming up in a few minutes.